Blog Talk Radio.
Nazim Rashid opening up the student to teacher show this morning. Oh, good morning from Arizona. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite, and I am so happy to be here this morning. I hope you're happy to join me too. I feel like breaking into some kind of song right now, but I don't know which one to break into. So if you have one, call in and let me know, or a poem or something that you'd like to share today, to spread some joy. So many things out there to be joyful about. In the midst of all the chaos that's going on, we still can find joy. That's right. This is a student to teacher show, and I want all of you to remember that you don't have to be in an academic classroom to be a student, nor do you have to have a degree necessarily to be a teacher. These are requirements in academic environments, but there's all kinds of environments that you find students and teachers. Because as long as you're willing to share information that you've learned, then you are a student and a teacher. So welcome to the Student to Teacher Show. You know, we are sponsored by White Apple Institute, and that is where people who are in need of support systems to either get back to work or stay at work or school, they can call in and speak to a counselor and receive support and resources and services to help them to succeed. So we hope that you'll go to whiteappleinstitute.org and click on that donate button and help us continue this great work that we're doing. We certainly appreciate all of the listeners that are supporting this radio show and supporting the work of White Apple Institute. This morning, our show is totally dedicated to the relationships, the issue of relationships that impact school and work performance. You see, we're going to have a special guest on the show today, and her name is Dr. Rachel Ross. Dr. Rachel Ross is an MD and PhD, a family doctor and therapist in the field of sexology. But she has a lot of things that she can share with us about relationships. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, because of the fact that, you know, this show is based on the psychosocial issues, or the psychological and social issues that people face when they're trying to succeed in the workforce, especially, and that is inclusive of any kind of school or training that they go through. And many times, in my own experience with many of the students or clients that have contacted us through White Apple Institute, and through my work as a professor in psychology, I have found so many times that people will drop out of work, drop out of life, because of a relationship going wrong. Now, the going wrong part is something that we need to discuss, and we will later on, because we have to understand that going wrong is truly about perception, too, and about our choices, about how we look at a relationship. But the relationships that we're talking about are not necessarily the intimacy and sexual relationships. Any relationship in regards to parental relationships, family relationships, relationships with your teachers, your professors, and relationships with your employers, all can add stress to your life if you're not balanced and you're not viewing it with a balanced perspective. So, you know, I talk a lot about balance because balance is, I mean, we've got to juggle our lives. We've got to balance our lives out. And we've got to look at what impacts our performance, because we work very hard, many of us work very, very hard to get where we're going, to get where we are. And we put a lot of energy into building a future. And it is quite disheartening to see how many people actually engage in many, many years of school and work and land up losing their footing, their position, because they land up into a relationship that goes sour. Wow. There's a couple of tips that I'm going to share with you today. So, you know, for those of you that take those notes while we're talking, I'm hoping that you're going to take some great notes this morning on some of the tips that I'm going to share with you about how to make sure that the relationships in your life do not impact your performance. Hey, one of the things that I want to make sure, you know, that there's a great understanding on is, you know, I contacted Dr. Rachel Ross, and I was really concerned about many of the comments that have been coming back to me from students who are having relationship issues with intimacy and, of course, physical limitations. And so I'm hoping that in the future we can get more in detail about that type of thing and maybe do a special show dedicated to just that, people dealing with pain and chronic illness and how they're dealing with their own sexuality and sensuality and relationships. But today we're going to have a unique discussion of how adult students as well as teachers can manage the relationships and sexuality issues. And with Dr. Ross, we're going to encourage you to explore ways to manage stressful relationships that can many times result in you sabotaging your job or career plan. Now, we've talked a lot about managing stress on our show, and there's plenty of archive shows you can go back on and actually listen to some of the tips that we give to you about controlling your stress. But today, I'm not going to go into a lot of stressful management techniques, although they're there. They're going to come up in the conversation. But I did want to make sure that everybody is aware that when we talk about mental and physical disabilities, we're not just talking about those that we see. We're talking more, I guess, definitely more about the ones that you don't see, like depression, PTSD, cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, all kinds of things that impact our ability to work as successfully as we want to, and we still keep going. Kudos to you for those of you who are able, as myself, to overcome the issues of disability and roll up your sleeves and keep going. Kudos to you for those of us that are able to overcome the impact of poor relationships that we establish with people, even those within our home. I received a note from one of our listeners and students who discussed her brother living with her in her home and how she was able to overcome the tremendous stress associated with trying to get him to work and contribute to the household. And it was very disheartening to her that she had to ask her brother, a family member, to leave. But the reason why she had to do that is that she had already lost her job because of depending on someone, on him, to help her out in the house with some things. And she landed up being late and having very poor attendance. And so she landed up quitting or leaving her job. I think the way that the story reads with her is that she quit before she was fired. Okay. But the bottom line is that there are many times that these relationships with our family and our loved ones, our significant others, can truly have such a negative impact on us that we've got to dig deep down inside of ourselves and really figure out, what can I do? What can I do with my relationship with God, my Creator, for whatever, however you describe or interpret your Creator? What can I do to make sure that I don't let this interrupt, this relationship interrupt my life? So it's very important that we look at that issue. We have some callers online before I start sharing some of the tips, and I just want to make sure that we acknowledge everyone. But good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. Thank you for joining us this morning. 363, thank you for joining us this
good
morning.
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning. Good morning. So glad to hear your voice this morning, and hoping that we can discuss how relationships impact school and work performance with you, and any comments that you have in regards or stories that you'd like to share of people being able to overcome these things. Okay?
Yes.
All right. And we also have a caller from the California area calling in, 209. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning. Good morning. Sounds like one of our board members from White Apple Institute.
Yeah. Good morning.
Wonderful. We're so glad to hear your voice. Okay, we're holding on right now, and we're hoping that Dr. Rachel Ross will be joining us shortly. And we appreciate so much you being online this morning. Please feel free to comment at any time about how you feel about how relationships impact school and work performance. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. And I also want to acknowledge a 928. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite. I look forward to hearing Dr. Ross.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, we all do. And hopefully she'll be calling in just a few moments, and we will go over some things with her and pick her brain, so to speak, on how she is, how she feels that we should manage stress in our relationships. You know, one of the things that comes up a lot for us is the fact that we have to, I said earlier, we talked about balance and balancing emotional energy and physical energy, making sure that we look at how much time we have and how much attention we give to certain things in our life. Now, here's a formula that I believe has helped many of my students, at least that's the feedback that I've gotten, is that we have 168 hours in a week. You may want to write that down. That is 7 days a week times 24 hours. Now, within that, you have to minus out your time to sleep and your leisure time and and your time to take care of your household and shopping, eating, the whole bit. And then you come down to a certain amount of hours for work, transportation. Now, getting into the time you have to spend on relationships and the emotional and physical energy that you have to expend on that. That's going to be very important. That you, I'm going to give you three major tips that have come up. One of them is that we try our best to manage our time. And here's a suggestion. Schedule grieving periods. Wow, what do I mean, schedule grieving periods? How can you schedule grieving periods? Well, while you're at work or school, you're in a class or in a training program or sitting at your desk somewhere, and you have a job to do, the same job you had to do before whatever relationship you're in went sour. And so with that, you need to find a way to balance, manage that time and that attention so that your grieving about the relationship comes after you finish your shift, after you finish your class. Now, that's not easy to do. I'm not saying it's easy to do, but we have to at least try to schedule as we go on this professional pathway. We have to try to schedule time a way that we can actually grieve the loss of a relationship or the loss of something in a relationship. We have to set aside special time just for that. And another issue is not to discuss what's going on in your personal life at work and school, which is a common dilemma that we run into many times, is discussing our personal life. We integrate both of them together, and it causes so many difficulties. Because when you're at work, you're expected to produce, and that's number three. Number three is, remember, you must produce. That means in the classroom, your expectation is that you are to finish the program of study. In a job, you are to produce. The employer expects that, no matter what you're going through in your personal life. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it takes so much time to balance out these things, but I'm asking you to look at that and share that with somebody that you know is going through that. I have a couple of instances where I just want to address Carol. She's on our chat line. She has already quit school and her job, and that's because of domestic violence issues. Now, that is a tremendously sensitive area. And so I hope that within our conversation this morning, Carol, you will find some resolution in finding your balance as you go forward to find another job and get into school again. Okay? I have a note here from John, who couldn't handle stress of a breakup, and now he is on antidepressive drugs. Okay? Which is, you know what? I'll tell you something. Great idea if it helps. That's part of the balance. That's part of allowing time away that you can take care of yourself. You've got to take care of yourself during these periods. Any comments here? I have no comments. We'll move on. We have a caller in from 312. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. Good morning. 312? I'm not sure what area you're calling from. 312 just dropped. Okay. All right. Please call back in again. I'm sorry if I missed your call there. All right. Any comments on the issues of relationships and how we can avoid the impact, the negative impact on our performance? Anybody have any idea? Go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning.
Well, what you were just talking about, family, I guess, can be stressful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living proof here. And I guess living with family is very hard. And
mm-hmm.
taking your problems to work does happen. Because it's
mm-hmm.
happening to me. I feel like the show's about me today.
Well, you know, I'm hearing that from a lot of people, my dear. So thank you so much for your comments. I hope that somehow in our discussion today and the things that I'm sharing with you, that we can come to some kind of solution to help you manage what you're going through in your own household and so that it doesn't affect your work. One of the things you want to make sure of is that you try to keep your work life and your personal life separate. And it doesn't mean that we can't share some things with people that we work with that are close to us. We just have to be careful of not exposing it to everyone that's in our workplace or in our classroom, our peers. Because when we do that, what we're doing is we are opening up a door for different opinions to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has an opinion, right? Okay. And those opinions sometimes can be very confusing for us. And so we want to make sure that before we start asking people about, you know, what do you think about this? Because we do that a lot, don't we? People do that a lot. What do you think? What do you think? And before we do that, let me strongly suggest that you look inside of yourself first and find the answers within you. And then what will happen is that as you're talking to other people, hopefully those that will help you with solutions, not just discuss the ongoing problem. You see, that's another issue, too. You don't want to share with somebody who's going to be right there in the problem with you, but you want to choose someone who is going to help you with the solution. But as you do that, make sure that, that the answers that they're giving you, their opinions, kind of validate what you have already found within yourself and in your relationship with your Creator, with God. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? It validates you. Okay?
I do.
Because most of us already have the answers. We already know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And usually the answer is walk away from the situation, end the situation. But sometimes it's not so easy.
No, it's not.
It's painful. Okay? We have a 312 back, and I'm going to try again to get that.
Hello?
Hoping that's Dr. Ross. Hello. Good morning.
Yeah. Hey, Hi, good morning. It's Dr. Rachel Ross.
Good.
How you doing?
Oh, Dr. Rachel Ross, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's a wonderful, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. You're in Atlanta, is that right?
I'm actually in Chicago.
Chicago, right, yes. Are you still dealing with some good weather out there?
Yeah, we're actually temporarily having a pretty good weather day, so it's a beautiful Saturday, and I've been enjoying listening to the show.
Wonderful.
And really, you know, it sounds like you're really doing a good job of helping people either leave a bad situation or stay in one that's worth fixing, you know, which I think oftentimes, and I know that one caller asked about asking friends, you know, for help, and is this healthy? I think sometimes friends are always like, leave, girl, leave, or you need to leave, or you need to leave from the outside looking in. So I think it's always important, like you said, to find someone who's not submerged in it and can actually help you make good decisions, not based off of whether or not they want to see you just single as themselves, but whether or not this is actually something you need to do. So I think that's great advice.
You know, in your practice, especially as a sexologist, you're dealing with the issues of people who have a lot of stress related to their relationships and how that stress impacts their life. Can you tell us a little bit before we get into, because I really want to know more about your book and I want you to talk about that, but for a moment, can we just help our listeners to understand how stress can truly impact us so badly that we can that it hinders our performance.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, I'm a family medicine physician, so the gentleman who called, who wrote you a letter and saying that he ended up on antidepressants because of, mm-hmm. of the way things ended, I actually really respect that because I think oftentimes patients are stressed out, they're going through a lot, and they don't really know where to go to share that type of information, and your family medicine doctor is the perfect place to start with that. And oftentimes, mm-hmm. if it's causing ruminating thoughts, and this is the thing about stress. Stress isn't what kills us. It's how we respond to the stress that kills us, because everybody's life is stressful. You can look at the next person and think, oh, well, they've got everything going for themselves. Everything is perfect. Nobody's life is perfect. Everybody's life is stressful. And I find that the people who fare the best with stress are the ones who have an outlet and have figured out a way to deal with the stress so that the stress doesn't eat them up. Because stress can raise your blood pressure. It can cause a stroke. It can, you know, stress has been linked to cancer recently. It's linked to overeating. It's linked to depression. So there's so much that stress can cause that if you are having trouble managing your stress, that's when you need to reach out and speak to a psychologist or speak to your family medicine doctor about help. And I totally respect the gentleman who went one step further and got himself on antidepressants, because stress sometimes and relationship breakups can cause obsessive compulsive disorder, where everything you think of is that person. You can't think of anything else but the person and the relationship lost. And oftentimes you need medical help to help get those thoughts to stop. So I think that that's great, and I see it all the time because I deal with not just mental health but also physical health as well.
Of course. And the focus needs to be on ourselves first. We have to figure that out first. And I like what you said about the way we respond because I have a theory about the difference between the way we react to things and the way we respond to things. And especially in relationships. And so we hope that we develop a positive response when we're dealing with the fact that someone may be not living up to our expectations. Because that's what this is all about. You know, usually relationships fail because we have expectations of another person doing something for us or with us. And so because that expectation fails, we become disappointed, and therefore that big ball starts creating a snowball, starts getting bigger and bigger in our lives. And there you go with that stress. And I like the way you brought out the OCD issue, the obsessive compulsive disorder, and how we can actually, we have to look for finding outlets, some kind of outlet. I mentioned earlier about scheduling times for grieving periods to get away from doing that while you're at school or work, but within that also finding that outlet, something to exercise, some place to exercise or just to meditate. You agree?
Yes, absolutely. Right. Exercise, meditation, kickboxing, whatever it is that you can come up with, because you have a lot of pent-up aggression, pent-up feelings, because like you said, when your expectations aren't met, you know, disappointment comes up, and the average one, you know, the average response is anger. So you have all this, this pent up anger. That the best thing to do is find an outlet, whether it's exercising, whether it's yoga, whether it's meditation, whether it's a book club, whether it's going and spending your time and energy helping somebody else. Things that help you reframe and reconnect with the fact that your life really is better than you feeling like it is. And I think that that's important, too, is always keeping yourself grounded in the fact that this is not that bad. Things could always be worse. There's always someone that's suffering more than you. There's always someone whose situation is worse than yours. And if you keep in the present and keep reminding yourself of that and keep finding outlets, I find that patients end up, you know, getting over that hump, you know, a little quicker.
Yes. And, of course, it's even more challenging when, of course, you're in an intimate relationship with someone and you are not able to relieve yourself from the stress of the relationship from a sexual or sensual level. I assume that even builds up even more stress for an individual.
Oh, absolutely. And I find that, you know, couples, the biggest problem is this communication thing. So when one person is saying, you know, we don't have sex anymore. You know, you used to come on to me. I used to feel like you wanted me. And really what they're saying is, I don't feel wanted anymore. I don't feel appreciated. And so what ends up happening is sex becomes this thing that oftentimes the one person in the relationship has connected sex with you being attracted to them, you being wanting to be there. And when sex starts to fall off, then you have a situation where you know, you have one person who's trying to communicate to the other how important sex is, but the other person is like, well, it's just sex. I mean, really, I mean, can't, you know, why do I have to have sex with this person all the time? But what the partner is really saying is, I don't even feel like you love me anymore. And so I think that the task becomes to try to help one person in a relationship understand that just like water and air is a need for something, for everybody, sex for certain individuals becomes a need. And when you cut your partner off from that type of thing, they really feel like they're choking, like they're stifled, and then they have to try to express that sexual energy somewhere else, somehow else, whether it's through excessive masturbation, whether it's through having affairs at work, you know, whatever it is, it becomes very dysfunctional at that point. So I caution people to never really discount your person when they're telling you that, you know, that I really need sex a little bit, and to take those things seriously as a need and not necessarily a want.
Absolutely. And that it's not even just sexuality, it's sensuality, the sense of belonging and attachment and affection, attention.
Yeah.
Okay, and all of those things can overrun or extend beyond the intimate relationship you have with someone into those family members that are stripping you of energy and time and attention, so that it impacts the way you perform on a day-to-day basis. We have to look at, you know, when you talk about communication, we're not communicating, many of us are not communicating what our expectations are, especially early on in relationships with anyone.
Sure.
I notice especially, go ahead, please.
No, I 100% agree. I was just really agreeing because you hit it right on the head.
I know that there are some there are a few people that have some questions, and I want to make sure that I open up the line in enough time that they can ask you questions. We have a full switchboard this morning. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to everybody, but we certainly will try. Did you have a comment, anyone? I think the 209 line had a comment there from California.
Oh, well, yes, Dr. Applewhite, I'm so glad to be on. I'm glad to hear you on our show, Rachel, and glad to hear from you, because one of the issues that we're having, both of you guys are hitting them right on the head. In terms of how people need to handle their stress, we're having more issues occurring in the country. And so, and around the world, and it's important for people to understand stressors are going to be there. And it's all in how we handle it. So I agree. I don't want to over-elaborate, but I agree on the comment of it's how we handle it. Because it also becomes per race how we handle stress. And a lot of times people don't address how racially we handle stress. And I think that's a great tool we'll talk about, because some races of people don't even use medication and they're making it through stressors. And sometimes that's not being addressed. There are groups of individuals in this country and around the world that are not taking antidepressants to get through stress. But if we don't address that, then
I think too we have to keep in mind that other races have other experiences in America, and I will be one of the first people to attest to the fact that being an African American in the United States of America is an extremely stressful thing too. When I can drive down the street, as a physician in a nice car and get nervous every time a police car pulls up from behind me, you know, that's a stressful situation. So I think, you know, everybody's stress is a little different, and as a result of that, I mean, if you need antidepressants to try to get that under control, if you need blood pressure medication to try to get that under control, we need to embrace it a little more. And the main reason I wanted to talk to you
Yes. The main reason I wanted to stop you is I have too many patients that are so afraid of medication. And mm-hmm. I think it's important as a culture to embrace the fact that every now and then you're going to need some medication. And that's
right.
Okay. And it may be temporary. You may have to make some lifestyle changes so that you can get off the medication. But I think as a culture, we need to start understanding that sometimes people need medication.
I agree.
And you know, Dr. Ross, I can definitely say that I totally agree with you. And there are naturopathic remedies also that we could look at as far as relieving stress. But I totally agree, and I really appreciate not only just John, one of the students, but many others who are willing and able to take antidepressant drugs to help them. And I know that does become a problem, and this is a whole other show about the financial issues and insurance issues and that kind of thing. And for those of you that are having any challenges with that, please make sure you contact WhiteAppleInstitute.org and let us know if we can help out in any way with supportive services in that arena. Because what Dr. Ross is saying is so important. And it's not just the medication, it's also our diet. We find mm-hmm. that when people are in stressful relationships, and that relationship could be with an employer. I had a student not so long ago, Dr. Ross and other listeners out there, that actually quit her job because of a racial issue that she was having with her supervisor. And so sad that the reason why she quit a job that she had worked so hard for, I mean, went through tremendous training for at a bank, and gets into a position where she felt that the supervisor was racist against her. So my position, of course, right away as a counselor was, you know, let's try to work around that. But at that point, she had already walked off the job.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
And dealing with all kinds of stress. And this woman has 3 kids. And so, of course, that's impacting everything that she's doing in her life now. So we do have to really look at how every relationship, whether it's racially based, sexually based, or whatever, is impacting our performance. Is that where we want to be?
Yeah.
Any other comments? I think we had the 928 number. Did you have a comment? I'd say number, I think. Yes.
This is 928.
Mm-hmm.
I find it difficult to, not for myself, because I have my own technique, but I find it with my clients, it's difficult for them to dissociate themselves from their stress and their work.
Uh-huh.
And it's a rare person that can do so.
Uh-huh.
You know, what I'm saying is leave home at home and leave, when you go home, leave work at work.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very difficult thing to do, but it can be done.
Uh-huh.
I can relate to Dr. Voss. I am of a minority myself, and every time a cop pulls behind me, I used to get nervous.
Uh-huh.
But I started thinking, well, hell, I haven't done anything wrong. You know? So, you know, as long as I don't do anything wrong, I don't get nervous. But when, you know, I'm on a yellow light, you know, and one turns right behind me, I get a little bit nervous. But, stress can be in many forms, though. You're talking about stress of a relationship. There's also the stress of not being in a relationship.
Absolutely.
The flip side of the coin, because you know, for every yin, there's a yang.
Well, that's what Dr. Ross was referencing earlier, is that we have to find alternative ways to relieve our stress in relationships. And I think that, and I'm going to give this back to Dr. Ross for a minute, I think that something you said, caller, was very important, and it sounds like you're in the mental health field yourself, is that we many times, when you said you don't get upset anymore when someone's behind you, a cop is behind you or whatever, because you haven't done anything wrong. And I think in relationships we need to look at, have we done something wrong? Because many times we put it back on ourselves. Whether we have a relationship and say we've done something wrong in the relationship, or whether we don't have one and are trying to figure out what's wrong with me. Okay?
Yeah.
And both those things can impact the way we perform at work and school. And these are things we put a tremendous amount of energy into. That's why we focus a lot on school and work. Because we put so much energy into these things to accomplish things, and to lose them over selecting or choosing to be in a poor relationship, to stay there, or to grieve and mourn over it and let it affect us, is a tremendously negative impact in our life. Dr. Boss?
Yes, absolutely. And I think you hit on something when you said, and so did the caller, about stressing about not being in relationships too. And I think that maybe on the flip side of that, sometimes, you know, particularly women are really hard on themselves about not being in a relationship, particularly if they feel like that, quote, clock is ticking, or you know, just gotten a divorce and they feel like they failed and that everybody's looking at them like, how we knew that wasn't going to work. But I think sometimes too, you know, I get a lot of questions from women about, well, you know, I keep attracting the same guy, the same stuff is happening, you know, over and over again. I keep attracting men who are separated. You know, what is this happening? And I think personally, we have to do a better job too of taking some responsibility for what we're doing. You know, like if you keep running into men who are married and you keep running into men who are separated, you know, a big part of that is because you are open to that. You know, like I run into married people all the time, but that doesn't affect me in any way because I would never date one, you know. So I think sometimes we have to step back and take responsibility for what part you play in repeating a cycle. And then sometimes taking yourself out of the situation and figuring out, is this a cycle? Is this something that I keep doing over and over again? Are these the mistakes I keep having? Do I keep running into guys who are abusive? Do I keep ending up cheating on someone else? You know, like where do you fall in this, and what can you do personally to kind of change this future that you're writing? And I think that's a big thing, is taking responsibility.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Taking responsibility for our actions. Okay,
yes.
And that's so important, because if we don't do that, then we are really sabotaging ourselves as much as we are sabotaging our career plans, our goals. We have to be able to manage the way we're handling any kind of stressors in our life, and especially leading back to something you said earlier, Dr. Ross, about the factor that cancer is now associated with stress. I think you mentioned diabetes, high blood pressure, all of these things that we're dealing with, in society, especially in American society, that we're overwhelmed with those statistics. And so we have to.
And then, you know, on top of it, just the daily stressors, you mentioned this diet. You know, we consume diets that are very high in processed foods, and so just the average person has no idea what all those preservatives are doing to your body. I mean, and what is tricking your body into doing. You know, the women who come in and they're like, for some reason I'm snapping on everybody, I'm extremely irritable, I don't understand what's happening to me. You know, sometimes it's simple as switching your diet from eating everything that you're eating is processed, and you're buying this and you're buying this, as opposed to just cooking and using some organic fruits and vegetables, makes a huge difference in how a person feels and how you start to handle stressful situations. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that documentary Supersize Me. It's about a guy who goes to McDonald's every day as part of the documentary. He goes every day, and he starts out being as this really calm person. And as he goes to McDonald's every day and he starts ordering more and more food, he becomes more and more aggressive and just completely a different person than the person you saw months before while he's focusing on McDonald's. So I want you to keep in mind two things. We've got a lot of food deserts in America where pretty much the only restaurants available and the only food stuff is McDonald's or Church's Fried Chicken or whatever else. But if you have options and you're still consuming those types of things, you would be surprised at how quickly your personality changes and how one incident that may not have triggered a response 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago when you were eating healthy, now that you're putting all of these toxins in your body, now all of a sudden you have gone off, you've chased someone down for a road rage situation, you've yelled at somebody, you hit somebody, you got to fight at work, and really sometimes it's as simple as adjusting what you're putting in your body. That old saying, you are what you eat, is
you
no
are
true.
What you eat.
You are what you eat, and if you eat McDonald's every day, you're McDonald's. So,
yes.
I think,
you know, Dr. Voss, that is so true. And we find that so many people in relationships that have poor relationships start eating poorly.
Yes.
They start eating the junk foods because they're depressed.
Yep.
Yeah. So you hit it right on the head there.
Absolutely. So, and then it's a cycle. The junk food, you know, is there before things go awry, then it's there more so once things go awry, and you just have a hard time separating yourself. And I'm a big component of cleansers, you know, like even if it's a 3-day cleanse where you're just kind of cleansing yourself from the toxins you've been taking in and starting over. It's the same as when you're obsessed with a person, obsessed with food stuff, obsessed with sex. You have to go on kind of a purge or a fast in order to kind of reset your system in order to, you know, see clearly and function clearly and have your body function at an optimal level. So, I mean, I have to go now, but I have completely enjoyed this experience.
Yes.
You know, for those of you who are on Twitter, please follow me at Dr. Rachel. It's DrRachael. For more information,
yes.
DrRachel.com. I'm a huge... I love your blog talk radio every week, and
thank
I'm going to
you.
Continue to tune in and maybe even call in sometimes just to chat. So thank you very much
so much.
Thank
you so much. Dr. Voss, your new book is coming out? And
You know what? No, my new book is not coming out anytime soon, but as soon as it is,
okay.
I will let you know.
All right.
Oh, you know what? I'll be on the doctors on Monday. So
wonderful.
If you ever watch The Doctors, check me out. I'll be on The Doctors this coming Monday. And
Channel 3. See, is that NBC? No, that's not NBC. I can't remember what the...
It's on a different station in every city. So if you go to thedoctorstv.com, what you can actually do is click on showtimes, and it'll show you what time it's coming on in your city.
Fantastic. We truly appreciate you being part of our show this morning, and we know that you have to go, but thank you for stopping in and sharing with us, Dr. Rachel Voss. I look forward to an ongoing relationship with you. God bless you.
My pleasure, Dr. Applewhite. Take care.
Thank you. And any other comments, questions that we have for this morning, because I feel that this is going to be an ongoing conversation. There's so many things that have come up in our discussion about relationships that we can't ignore, that we're not just talking about sexuality or intimate relationships. We're talking about family. We brought up the relationships we have that go poorly because of racial issues. So there's so many things that happened that came out of our conversation this morning that it's exciting to know that there are people out there that are joining in at our show and actually and sharing these comments. Any other comments from our listeners out there, especially on the group listening line?
I think today's show was very helpful, Dr. Applewhite, for myself. I'm the one with the family member who's stressing me out at home and other things, but very helpful. The show was great today.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And one of the things I'd like to make sure that we close with here as we have a few moments left on the show is that the most important relationship that you need to have is the relationship with yourself. The relationship that you have with yourself and the relationship you have with your God, your Creator, is the most important relationship. And so when you get in touch with those two things, then you are going to be a better person. You're going to be able to balance, like we talked about, balancing that emotional and physical energy, giving yourself time and attention to the things that you need. Those three tips again: manage your time. Schedule some time for grieving the relationships, whatever relationship you're in that's causing you problems. Take time and go somewhere else away from work or school and even if it's in your car in a parking lot, give yourself time to cry. Give yourself time to meditate, to pray. And go back with a new attitude. And know, and really get into, like one of the calls, the 928 caller brought out, look at the factor that maybe you haven't done anything wrong. Okay? Maybe it's not you. And giving respect to the other person's choice to do whatever they need to do to be a whole person. And in the same time, you have to give respect to yourself to move away from relationships that are toxic to you. Because anything that's toxic to you, including the foods that we eat, you know, we have to balance out physical, mental, and spiritual foods. What we feed ourselves spiritually, what we feed ourselves mentally, and what we feed ourselves physically all has to be in balance. And that way we can attract, as Dr. Ross was saying, sometimes we attract the same type of relationships to us. Whether it's a family member or someone intimately that we know, we attract that same person over and over again, and we need to look in the mirror and reflect on ourselves about why we keep going through the same thing over and over and over again. There must be something in our energy. We're like magnets. We're all like magnets, the electromagnetic energy. And we attract to us what we are. Any comments as we begin to close here? I believe that the 363, did you enjoy the show this morning?
Oh, yes, Dr. Applewhite. It was fantastic, and I'm just taking in everything. I haven't said very much because just humorously, I don't know if I say that word right,
mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, well, I guess I don't have very much stress in my life. I can't really identify. I can't identify myself with you. Yeah, I was just saying that to myself, but I'm learning a lot.
Okay, so, anyway. Now we're going to try to get her.
Well, thank you for sharing. And humorously, it's fine. You know, we have to, and that's a really good point, is being able to laugh at ourselves. Okay? Many times, there's some background noise going on. I'm going to have to mute some of you right now. But we have to be aware that many times that the way that we look at ourselves, we don't give ourselves time to just laugh a little bit about the circumstances. Even just as within the last week, I'm dealing with a woman who has a teenage daughter who is causing her all kinds of problems, and she's ready to drop out of her nursing program because of it, because it's becoming so stressful. And, I mean, when you talk about a nursing program, the amount of energy that goes into getting where she is, which is in her third year, and to drop out because of this, we have to help her. I hope she's listening in this morning. We have to help her to find that balance in her physical, mental, and spiritual energy so that she doesn't allow that relationship with her daughter to sabotage her career plans. So we hope that the expectations that she has, remember we talked about expectations earlier, that she's communicating her expectations to her daughter, but also we need to lower our expectations sometimes. And by lowering our expectations, we lower our disappointments, okay? Because that's what causes the disappointments, is how much we expect of another individual to do in our lives. So that's the balance that I hope that we all remember. And remember this last part. I want to come back to something that's real important. Remember that the employer or your professor expects you to produce. That's why you are there in a work and school environment. You agreed, whether you signed a contract, a written contract, or it was an unwritten verbal contract, or that just in the sense that you stepped into a classroom or a job environment, that means that you have a contract to produce. And if you are going to produce and live up to that contract, you must learn how to balance your personal life because relationships are going to be there. And sometimes they're going to go sour. And you have to learn how to balance them, either with children, family members, or someone that you're intimately involved with, and balancing out what one caller said, that issue of not having relationship. I want to also stress something real important here in our last few minutes of the show. I remember something, a poem, and I can't remember the whole poem, but I remember that in the poem, there's something that says variety is the spice of life, okay? And the reason why I think that that stood out so much to me is that we have to look at a variety of situations in our life to solve our problems many times. And we usually look at just one thing, one area, one thing that we can do, and there are so many other things that can bring us solutions. So open up your heart and your mind. Take time to reflect on what is bothering you in a relationship that you're having, and find that there are a variety of things that you can do to spice up your life. And that goes into a whole issue on our intimate relationships, too. We thank you so much for joining us on the Student to Teacher show this morning. And we thank Dr. Ross, and we had a board member that was the 209 area.
Yes.
Ms. Owens, are you there?
Very good show, Apple. Yes,
okay.
I just came back on. I got lost.
Okay, no problem.
Great show.
No problem. Well, thank you very much. Any comments anyone has as we close? And I just want to thank you so much for supporting our show by going to whiteappleinstitute.org and clicking on that donation button so that you can help us to continually support differently abled persons to succeed in the workforce and at school. We thank you so much and close our show with much love and peace as we listen to Wes Ricks as he closes our show with this great, great flute music. And we thank Nazim Rashid, whose show follows this mentor man on Blog Talk Radio, who will be speaking about spiritual psychology this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite signing out.